The other thing that I see a little bit of confusion is looking at the results of a trial like ATT&CK and saying, well, there was only, let's say, a 2% difference at 2.5 years or 5 years or whatever it might be, the fraction in the trial, and applying that to my patient in front of me. When the ATT&CK trial had 60% node negative patient, that doesn't apply if a patient in front of you has 4 positive nodes.
No. Also, again, I'll go back to tamoxifen because it's a story we can now see clearly in retrospect. With tamoxifen, there was almost no effect of tamoxifen on 2-year mortality. So when the average follow-up in the trials was just 2 years, there was virtually no effect. You've got a definite but small effect on 5-year mortality. But the effect on 15-year breast cancer mortality is more than twice as great as the effect on 5-year mortality. The difference in mortality after the first 5 years is bigger than the difference in mortality during the first 5 years. So what looks like a small difference in mortality when you've got only a short follow-up may translate into quite a substantial difference in mortality when you've got 15-year follow-up.
Another topic that there's been a lot of discussion about and was actually mentioned by Tony Howe when he presented the ATT&CK data was the, quote, carryover effect after treatment has stopped. And now for the first time, as I said, at least we're seeing that at the 6-year point. I've also seen analyses that suggest that this, quote, carryover effect, initially 2-3 years ago, I think people were thinking it was specific to tamoxifen. Now I'm hearing people say, well, maybe chemotherapy has that same, quote, carryover effect. Any effective systemic therapy would. Is that true?
Well, the carryover effect really does relate to hormonal treatment, that if you want to consider whether to stop hormonal treatment, say, after 5 years or carry it on to 10 years, then for the first few years after you stop, there will be a sort of carryover protection from the first, say, 5 years of hormonal treatment you gave. So really, if you're looking at 5 years versus 10 years, the real question is whether hormonal treatment for the first decade after diagnosis will provide significant protection not only during the first decade but also during the second decade after diagnosis. And for women with hormone-sensitive breast cancer, the death rate from breast cancer remains high not only during the first decade but also during the second decade. That's not so true of ER-poor disease. ER-poor disease, you have a very high death rate in the first 5 years and then a lower death rate in the second 5 years and the third 5 years. So actually, for ER-plus disease and for ER-poor disease, the 15-year risk of breast cancer is actually much the same, even though the 5-year risk of breast cancer is much worse for ER-poor disease. But coming back to hormone-sensitive disease, you've got almost as high a death rate in the second decade as you have during the first decade. If you survive the first decade, you've still got quite a substantial risk of death from breast cancer during the second decade. And so you've really got to take a 20-year perspective on what treatments you're offering are going to provide for that patient. I mean, a woman in middle age, if she didn't have breast cancer, might well be looking at a life expectancy of several decades. And so it's not just one 10-year survival. You don't want just to say what you do in the first decade. It's what you do in the first decade and the second decade. I mean, that's true for hormonal therapy. It's true for radiotherapy. It's true for chemotherapy. I mean, actually, if you look at chemotherapy in women under 50, sure, it has a very big effect on early recurrences. It has a moderate effect on 5-year mortality, but it has twice as great an effect on 15-year mortality as it does on 5-year mortality in hormone-sensitive women with hormone-sensitive disease. So chemotherapy in ER-plus disease has its main effects on breast cancer mortality after the first 5 years, not during the first 5 years.
Another sort of long-term kind of concept that I've heard a lot of discussion about relates to recurrence. And yesterday, Mike Baum was in here and pointed out to me in the ATT&CK curve that in the tamoxifen arm, there was a peak at 2 years. That was the highest peak of recurrence. And then at 5 years, another peak. And that in the anastrozole arm, that first peak at 2 years, which according to Mike is related to perturbations from surgery, was significantly dampened. And I hadn't noticed that before. Is that the case?
I'm never sure about these models. I sometimes feel that the mathematics runs away with the data. Really, I'd like to see about 10 times as much data before starting to trust any models like that. I think that there is a difference in early recurrence rates, whether it's particularly within the first year, the first 2 years, the first few years, I think really isn't answerable. There is a difference in the early recurrence rates between the aromatase inhibitor and the tamoxifen. And that's really as far as I'd want to go. I'd really need very much more data before starting to get into the details of the shape of the curve. I feel that's maybe just a transient pattern, maybe. We'll see.